Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. It's time for the word of God from the sanctuary of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Get on the phone, text, email your friends and your family, tell them there is another word from the Lord that is so important for them to hear and to receive. And of course, I am humbled and glad to be able to bring it to you. All right, then we're going to do part two of what we ministered Sunday, why the last days are dangerous. So get your seatbelts hooked up, get ready. We're going to go for a serious, serious Holy Ghost ride. Open your Bible, if you would please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is where we are taking our theme and our topic from. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, King James reads, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do need you. We depend completely upon you and Holy Spirit to inspire, empower, lead, guide, direct, speak through me. Give me clarity of thought, intent, and purpose. Let me speak what thus saith the Lord. Anoint the ears of your people to hear, their hearts to receive, so you can get the precious fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Sunday, we informed you, we tried to inform you that perilous also means violent, difficult, and dangerous. Dangerous. Hence the topic, why the last days are so dangerous. We learned that selfishness is the order of the day, and that the major cause of the dangers in these last days is selfishness. People are selfish. In verse 2, Paul says, "For people will be lovers of self." That's selfish. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. He gives a litany of other attitudes that people will have in the last days. Verse 3, he says, "Heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good." I want to emphasize that aspect, attribute as well. Not loving good. That's big. That's huge. So people will be selfish, among other things. They'll be selfish and they will not love good. That means they won't love God or anything good about God, and they won't love good people of God. It's important. In the last days, people will be so selfish that they won't love God or what's good or good people or the good people of God. Now, think about this. There's some thoughts, some thinking that's going to be required. I'm going to make some corrections from something I said Sunday. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, the Bible clearly says in the last days, people will be selfish. And again, among other things, they will not love what is good. We know that God is good, and every good and perfect gift comes from God, and the people of God and the kingdom of God are good. So people won't love God, the people of God, the kingdom of God, church, all these things people are beginning to hate, as you know yourself. So here's the question. If people hate God, if people hate God, everything good, and love only themselves, they obviously think only themselves to be good. I'm going to say it again. If the last days people hate God and everything good and only love themselves, then it stands to reason that those people think of themselves as the only good people. My brothers and my sisters, this is Luciferian. This is Luciferian. That mentality, attitude, the spirit behind people that think that way, that make these times so dangerous, is Luciferian. Let me go further, help you understand what I mean. In Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" How did he do it? Verse 13, "For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit down or sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Verse 14, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." And last, the fifth and final, "I will be like the Most High." Notice what Lucifer, who also is called Satan and the devil, says. Five "I wills." He's selfish. He's the king of selfishness. He declares, "I will," five times, proving to us the only will that he's concerned with is his own. That is the height of selfishness. He says he will ascend, exalt, advance, preside, and eventually become God. Isn't that crazy? He says he will ascend, he will exalt, he will advance, he will preside over, and eventually become what he desires. And he desires to be God. He says, "Nothing's going to stop me from being what I want to be." That's selfishness. And these last days are dangerous because people are selfish, highly selfish. Think about what Lucifer said. Think about what the day star, as he's also called, said. Lucifer, I know we've said a lot already to really, really think about, but let's go further. Lucifer thinks he can do a better job than God, his creator, at managing creation. A created being, created by God, thinks he can do a better job being God than God. I know. It's shocking. And this is why the last days are so dangerous and why things keep happening that shock us. And we say, "Oh, we can't get more shocked than that." And then something else happens, even more crazy, outrageous than that. Because how outrageous can it be for a created being to tell the creator, "I'm going to replace you. I'm going to replace you." Many, many people today, like Lucifer, think God's ways are evil and their ways are better. That's the kind of world we're living in right now. People think their ways are better. People don't want to listen to God, the word of God. They don't want to listen to the preacher. They think their ways are better. They think they know better how to manage their lives, which is why their lives are spiraling out of control, many people, because God is not in the center. And in fact, they have rejected God and made themselves to be God in their lives. Paul says again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, that the last days people will hate people that love good or love what God says is right. This is what we said Sunday. We concluded Sunday that righteousness is good because righteousness is of God. So in the last days, people are going to hate folk that's trying to live right. They're not going to want to hear you tell them, "Well, the Bible says." They're going to hate you for that. They hate you for telling them to live right. It's going on right now. If I were to go down a litany of what the things that God hates, people get mad. People are hating on people who seek to live right. Even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, some people get angry at other people that just want to live right. Just want to go to a church where the preacher is living right and he's teaching us how to live right. I just want to live right. I just want to please God. That's a problem today. It's dangerous today if you want that in your life. Sunday, let me make a correction. Sunday, I said black and brown people, especially black men, have been, unbeknownst to many of them, traumatized in this country. I said that many suffer from PTSD. I hold to those two proclamations. However, this is the correction, and it wasn't what I said was wrong. I just want to be all the way right. Come on, somebody. So, I said that social science today has coined a phrase called micro fissures. And I got ahead of myself because that's not the correct term. The correct term is microaggression that causes what I believe are micro fissures or small cracks or stress fractures in a person's life. So what is microaggression? Microaggression is any statement, action, or incident that is discriminatory against black people, no matter how slight it may be or unintentional by the person that releases the aggression. For example, here's an example of microaggression. Being served last at a restaurant we entered first. And some of my wonderful brothers of a lighter hue, of a European descent, don't get mad, don't turn me off. Please hear me. You're going to learn something. This is what we need to do. Learn how to live together. So this is a microaggressive act. Some people may not even realize they're doing it or realize what it does, but we as black people know exactly how it feels because we have experienced this on these type of things on a daily basis. It's micro. It's so small that it can almost seem to be insignificant, which is why it needs to be talked about so it's no longer ignored and insignificant. Here's another act of microaggression. It's being followed in a store. And it's, again, some of my white brothers and sisters, you don't know what that's like. We as black people, you know what it's like to go into a store, you know, a nice store, and all of a sudden you just get followed because you're black. You haven't done anything. They're watching you. They're following you. That's a microaggressive act. It has an impact on us. Here's one, and this is probably one that's the most common today because of the recent events. Here's a microaggressive act. Some might even think it's not microaggressive. Some may think this is very aggressive because of how they were treated. But it's being pulled over by the police for no reason. See, these type of microaggressive acts cause stress. It stresses us out. It has caused us much internal pain, agony, and distress. And it needs to be talked about. And I'm going to give you some more information on this as we go. This isn't my whole message. Don't turn it off because we're still kingdom preachers. But please hear what I'm saying. So again, these acts of microaggression cause micro fissures or cracks, I call them. These are small cracks. I used and compared, sadly, the building in Miami that collapsed because of micro cracks. They weren't easily detectable. People may have saw them and ignored them because they're little bitty cracks. They can't really mean that much. This is exactly what's going on and has been going on in the lives of many people of color, and particularly black men, for generations in this country, that can no longer and should no longer be ignored. These acts, hear me, these microaggressive acts that take place daily. Some of us, as black men in particular, we may experience several of these throughout the day, every day. Every day. A small, seemingly insignificant gesture, act, or word that's microaggressive that impacts us, so our soul. So some of you don't understand where the term angry black man originated. It didn't originate with us. Some good black men have become angry black men because of years, decades of microaggressive acts. Some brothers don't even know they're suffering from PTSD. Watch this. We were having our Zoom leadership meeting last night, and several of our leaders are on, and we were talking about this, and I brought this up, and one of our elders, Dr. Beverly Layton, said to me, she said, "Bishop, have you heard of the term weathering?" And I said, "No." And so I looked it up. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Man. The microaggression that we constantly face and constantly experience is a recipe for what is called weathering. Weathering. It's pretty basic and it's common. You'll understand it. Weathering is a it's like a building that experiences winter, summer, fall, and autumn. The weathering that takes place slowly can erode the building. That's why we have to paint, change the roofing, redo the parking lot. We're going to have to do that next year because of the weather. Nothing stays the same because the weather takes its toll on things. That's what microaggression does. It weathers us. It takes its physical, it takes a literally a physical and psychological toll on black men. Listen to this very, very carefully. Weathering puts black men at an increased risk of conditions like type 2 diabetes and heart disease. The microaggression that we have felt and continue to experience impacts our physical health. This is why black men's health is some of the worst in the country. It's not just because we don't eat right, and certainly that could be a part of it, but what we do know and what science has proven and what the Word of God tells us, is that when we experience constant weathering and antagonism and aggressive, it wears on the body. Some of my brothers, the reason you have diabetes or are struggling with it or have heart condition or heart problems is because of the stress that is being constantly put on you just because you love Jesus. And then if you're black, add times whatever. And we need to understand why black men are dying and what's causing them to die at an earlier rate than their counterparts or any other race in the country, even if you're saved. And I'll say this, particularly if you're saved and you're a black man, you are under more stress than the average black man. And I know people will argue with me in that, and that's fine. Watch this. Let me say this to you, and then I'm going to move on. After Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968 at 39 years of age, an autopsy was done on him. His brain and his heart in particular was study. It was determined that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., at the age of 39, had the heart of a 60-year-old man. He had the heart of a man almost twice his age. And they say the reason his heart was so old and weathered because it was stressed by the 13 years of civil rights he fought for. It stressed him out. A 39-year-old pastor, preacher, had the heart of a 60-year-old man. You need to pray for your pastors. You need to understand the stress that pastors have. You need to be more lenient and understanding for your pastor. You don't have any idea the stress levels, particularly today, in these last days, during this pandemic. You need to pray for your pastor. Stop being among those that pastors ain't doing nothing. They ain't doing enough. Stop it. Stop. 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 And get an understanding. And all of our getting, get an understanding. Did you hear what I said? Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated at 39 years old, and they found out he had the heart of a 60-year-old man. And I hope you understand what I'm about to say, and I pray it's not offensive to you and you're not oversensitive, but I need to make sure you understand. It suggests that if he had not been assassinated, he would have had a heart attack in a matter of time anyway. If he hadn't been assassinated, his heart would have failed him. These are the things that we deal with and need to understand and be mindful of. Listen, 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 my brothers and, of course, my sisters. My brother, my black brother, my African-American brother, my Afro-Asian, Afro-Latino, Afro, on and on and on, your Caribbean brother, get annual checkups. Get a physical. Know what's going on with your body. So, these kind of microaggressive acts experienced by black men and brown people over decades, 1619 Project, hundreds of years, reveals what I believe is a Luciferian system of selfishness that exists in our world today. A Luciferian system of selfishness. He's the king of selfishness. All he wants to happen is his will. He cares nothing about God's will or any of the other angelic hosts' will or mankind's will. Lucifer just wants his will done. How many people are living that way right now? Remember, he cared nothing for God's will. He cared nothing for God's ways, only his ways. Isaiah 55:8, the Bible reads, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." God's thoughts, write this down if you're taking note. I believe many of you are. God's thoughts include three things. Of course, many things, but three things for tonight. God's thoughts include his purposes. Write that down. God's thoughts include his purposes. Number two, God's thoughts include his plans. God's thoughts include his plans. And then number three, God's thoughts include his intentions. His intentions. So in the mind of God are his purposes for you and I and the world. In God's mind or heart, if you will, are his plans for us. And in his mind and in his heart are his intentions for us. So now let me ask another seemingly obvious question is, whose thoughts do you think could possibly be superior to God's thoughts? Let me say it another way. Whose plans for your life could be superior than God's plan for your life? Whose purposes for your life could be better than God's purposes for your life? Whose intentions for your life could possibly be better than what God intends for your life? And if you would answer correctly, absolutely nobody's plans, no one's purposes, and no one's intentions could ever be better than God's for our life. So then why don't we follow God? That's what makes these times so dangerous, because everyone thinks their own plans are better than God's plans. Most people, unsaved people, and even church people think their purpose, what they want, is better than what God wants for them. That's dangerous to tell your creator you don't want to do the purpose for which he created you. That's dangerous. That's why the times are so dangerous. So my brothers and my sisters, to suggest that anyone has a better plan for your life than God is either fallacy or it's a downright lie. It's a lie. It's Luciferian. Lucifer was created by God, and he gonna tell God and the host of heaven, I'm better than God. It's better that I reign and rule than the one that created me. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to take you too long. Listen, Lucifer was created by God. Lucifer don't even know all about himself. The one that created you knows all about you. Many of us don't even know ourselves. We're trying to be something God don't want us to be. But we tell everybody, God told me to be this. God said I'm this. You don't even know yourself. Only your creator knows you fully. So rejecting God and God's ways is dangerous, my brother. Write it down. It's dangerous, my sister. Rejecting God and his ways is dangerous because doing so is also rejecting his plans. Maybe that's why your life is out of control. And you're angry about it because you've rejected God's plans for your life. Excuse me. Romans 1:21. Let me move on. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Think about that. They know God created them, and they weren't even thankful that God created them. They weren't even happy God gave them life. That's insidious. That's insane to me. That's what makes you so dangerous, because you don't even thank God for giving you life. You act as if you brought yourself here. You act as if you created yourself. He says, when they knew God, Paul says, they didn't give God glory for being God. Neither were they even thankful that God created them and they had enough sense to recognize God. He said, but they became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart became dark. Lucifer was not thankful. Hallelujah. Hear this. Write this down. It's going to bless your life. Lucifer was not thankful or grateful that God created him, blessed him, and honored him, and made him the anointed cherub that guards his glory. Oh my God. Lucifer wasn't grateful to God that God created him in all his beauty and then gave him such a magnificent position and responsibility and purpose for guarding the glory. He wasn't satisfied with that. He wasn't satisfied. So his thinking became foolish, and darkness got in his mind and plunged him into even deeper darkness. You better hear the preacher tonight. It's dangerous for you to know God and not acknowledge his plan and purpose for your life. It's dangerous, hallelujah, to say God called you, but you ignore the word of God and you say what you want to say because you're trying to manipulate the people. As more people reject God, like Lucifer did, they also make an attempt to change the glory of God, as Paul says in Romans 1:23, into statues. Let me read verse 24. Let's read some Bible. For this reason, God allowed their lusts to control them. No more needs to be said on that. As a result, they dishonor their bodies by sexual perversion with each other. Verse 25. These people have exchanged, my God, to exchange. You know what you're doing. When you exchange something, you know the value of what you have versus the value of what you want to get in exchange for what you have. So they have exchanged God's truth for a lie. You know, they've exchanged. I got to calm down. I just have to. These people, Paul says, have exchanged God's truth for a lie. They know it's true. They know God's word, his plans, his intentions and purposes are true. They don't want them. They exchange them for a lie. That's so serious. So they have become ungodly, anti-God, unlike God, don't want to be like God, and serve what is created rather than the creator. You can tell someone that's living a last day's lie because they would rather serve anybody in anything but God. That's dangerous. They won't serve the creator. They serve what's created. And the creator is blessed forevermore. Verse 26. For this reason, God allowed their shameful passions to control them. Their women have exchanged their natural sexual relationships for unnatural relationships. Likewise, verse 27, their men have given up their natural sexual relations with women and burn with lust for each other. This is what makes these times so dangerous, when people's minds are plunged into darkness because they don't want the truth and they want to lie. So now they're so twisted. That word twisted is where the word wicked comes from. It's where wicker furniture is twisted. Anybody that's wicked is twisted in their thinking. So they're twisted in their behavior. You're twisted, my brother and my sister. If you are a man and you have a lust and for a mother man, you're twisted, my sister. If you're a woman and you have sexual desires for another woman, your mind has been twisted and it makes you dangerous. It makes you dangerous. He goes on to say again, verse 27, likewise, their men have given up natural sexual relations with women and burn with lust for each other. Men commit indecent acts with men. So they experience among themselves. Hear this. This is the Bible. They experience among themselves. That group has an experience that others won't have. The homosexual, the LGBTQ alphabet community is experiencing things that regular heterosexual people will not experience. He says, so they experience among themselves the punishment they deserve. There's some punishment that goes with rejecting God's ways and living your life the way you want. There's some punishment. I'm just reading what the Bible says. You may not like it. You may not like me. I get it. You hate God and what's good. So you're not trying to hear this. Same sex attraction is rejecting God and God's ways. You were not born that way. It's dangerous because there's an earthly punishment that goes with it. There's an earthly punishment that goes with living a homosexual lesbian lifestyle. There's a punishment on earth that goes with that. Verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God. I mean, I know this is amazing to me. You know God is God, but I don't want to acknowledge God. Forget God. God gave them up to a debased mind. People with debased minds are some of the most dangerous people you could ever encounter. We've got a number of law enforcement and retired law enforcement that goes to this church. They know exactly what it means to encounter debased minded, sociopathic, psychopathic people that have no inkling, not an inkling of feeling for anything they do to another person. I know some of us can't fathom that. But this is in the Bible. This is what makes these times so dangerous. There are debased people. There's nothing they won't do. There's no limit to low and how low they'll go. You need to know that as a believer. Rejecting God causes the mind to go deeper and deeper into darkness. You think you've done some things that you wish you never did. If you don't turn right now, if you don't repent right now, if you don't call on the Lord right now, you're going to go deeper into darkness and do some things you never, ever, ever imagined you would do. Because the devil will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. These people with these debased minds that have been plunged into darkness and continue going deeper into darkness. These are people that invent evil things to do. These are the people that invent evil, wicked things to do. You need to understand that. You need to know that. It's dangerous out there. You can't stay home and play video games. Pick up your Bible and read it. Pray. Pray in tongues. We need the power of Holy Ghost in this hour. It's dangerous out there. Ain't no time to be playing church and playing with God, playing with His Word, playing with your calling yourself something, a title in the kingdom that you're not. This ain't no time to put your mama's heels on and walk around with makeup all over your nose and lips as a 3-year-old. Girl or boy. Rejecting God makes you a dangerous person. And if you're teaching your family to reject God, you're making your family a dangerous family. People say, well, where is God in all this? And the scripture says people will say that during the last days. Where is God? Where's the promise of His coming? Where it's going to be supposed to be a revival. Y'all been saying revival. This is the Bible talks about that. Listen, much of what's going on in the world today, don't blame it on the church and don't blame it on God. Watch this. The reason we went through this pandemic and were told that COVID-19 was enemy number one for 12, 13, 14 months, man created COVID-19 in a laboratory. Man did that. You heard it. But why are you blaming God when man created it? Man is dangerous. Unchecked, uncontrolled by Spirit of God on the man is dangerous. Let's just be real with it. You may not believe this. Mankind was also the cause of the spread of HIV. God didn't spread it. Man did that. Man, if you believe in it, is also the cause of global warming. Not God, man. Man is dangerous without God. Man is the cause of the depletion of fresh water on the west coast of America. Man did that. Man built a dam to corral and control the Colorado River and produce hydroelectric power so that people could live in the deserts of Las Vegas and Arizona and out in California. Man did that. That's man's idea. God didn't do that. God didn't do that. Man is the cause of the wars and the rumors of wars, the famine and pestilence. Jesus tells us about in Matthew 24. Man is the cause, my friends, my brothers and my sisters. Mankind is the cause of many of the dangers we face today. You know why? Because man won't follow God, and man is deceived by Lucifer, the devil, Satan, and any other name that you can call him. Let me tell you what Paul calls him so you know his power, so you understand the level of influence he wields and carries in our world today. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says, the little g God of this world. He's the little g God of this world. He's pulling the strings. He's the God of this world, little g God of this world. And what does he do? He blinds the minds of people who won't believe. You're blind. The devil is manipulating you. You're dangerous because the devil is your daddy. You're dangerous because the devil is telling you that God is a liar. And you believe it, even though you know better. Romans 1, 29. Just about done here. And they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They were full of gossips. Ooh, man. Yeah. Verse 30, slanderers, haters of God, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. I talked about that. Inventing evil. Disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. Hear this. They not only practice them anyway, but they are so wicked now, they are teaching other people how to live wickedly like they are. You need to understand, there are wicked people that are teaching people how to do wickedness. They're having wicked classes, wicked 101, wicked 202. You're just wicked. Any level of wicked you want to go to, they'll take you there. People who know God's ways are right still practice sin, and they keep on sinning, and they help other people learn how to sin. I remember, I'm almost finished here. I got about 5 more minutes. I'm reminded of back in the day growing up in Decatur, Illinois. Alcohol was the big thing. Of course, eventually I got into a lot of drugs. God delivered me from, and I'm still delivered, praise God. But I remember being a young fella, and some old guys lived across the street that loved to drink. They'd be out in the front in the summer drinking, and they'd say, hey, young fella. You know, you speak, because we spoke to everybody back in the day. And I remember one time I had just finished eating. And they said, hey, young fella, come on over here. And I went on over to see what they were talking. They was talking some, you know, smack. I don't remember what it was. And they offered me a drink. It was 2 of them. And I said, no, I just finished eating. And one of them said, man, that's the best time to drink. Another one said, no, leave that young boy alone. He's young. He said, no, let him teach him now. This evil man was teaching me, or trying to teach me, how to do evil. He's telling me the best time to drink is hard liquor is right after you eat. I didn't need to know that. See, wicked information is easy to receive. It's everywhere. Good godly wisdom and instruction ain't everywhere. That's why life is dangerous now. It's dangerous for you to take the advice of wicked people and then turn around and tell somebody else what the wicked person told you. Wow. Romans 2, 6 and 7. He, God, will pay all people back for what they have done. God's going to pay every single person back for what they have done. Verse 7. He will give everlasting life to those who search for glory, honor, and immortality by persisting in doing what's good. There's glory in your future if you insist on doing what God says is good. There's immortality in your future if you persist on doing what's right and not being a dangerous person. There's honor in your future if you don't want to be a dangerous person, but you want to live right before God. And then he says in verse 8, but he, God, will bring anger and fury on those who in selfish pride. See, selfishness is nothing but pride. It's nothing but pride. God's going to bring his anger and fury on those who in selfish pride refuse to believe the truth and who follow what is wrong. My brothers and sisters, it's dangerous to reject God. It's dangerous to turn preachers off that are teaching the truth. It's dangerous to not want God in your life. It's dangerous for you, and it's dangerous for everybody around you. And I don't know if you know this, but if you don't know Jesus in the pardoning of your sin, if you have not made Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord, if you have not been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide and direct you, right now, today, in this world, you are a dangerous person and you're injurious to other people. You're injuring people, whether you know it or like it or not. But I want you to be saved. I want you to stop injuring people. I don't want you to be kingdom enemy number one. I don't want you to be the people we have to look out for. So give your life to Jesus. I've already prayed the prayer, so pray it with me right now. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin because I'm a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to ignore your truth and your ways. I want to live right. I don't want to be a danger to my wife or my husband or my family, my neighbors, community, or anybody. I want to be right with you. Save me now. Fill me now. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless God for you. If you prayed that prayer, please email us, call us, write us, send a carrier pigeon. Let us know that this message has blessed you and that you no longer want to be a dangerous person. And you're going to do all you can to witness to other people to curb the danger. Because, see, we can add more police officers. We can do all of those things. It won't curb the danger. People need to be saved. Amen. God bless you. Man, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you, young lady. Call us, please. Text us. Let us know. And now, at the conclusion of every message, I just want to encourage you. I want to urge you. Please take a moment and look at the options at the bottom of the screen and send us a gift, an offering. Send us something to let us know you appreciate what we're doing. We just want to see people saved. We just want to see people live for Jesus. That's our purpose. Well, thank you. And as always, it's our pleasure. Peace be unto you. Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.